Call a special common council meeting of Tuesday, November 14th to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman DeAndrea.
Here.
Alderman Mayer.
Present.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Is excused.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Barber.
Here.
Alderman Nelson.
Here. We have a quorum. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First item is item B, citizens' comment period. Any citizen wishing to speak on any matter, please rise, come forward, give us your name and address, and speak to us. We know you.
Tom Taylor, 7014 Elroy Court. Came here tonight. First of all, I wanted to compliment the Common Council on the great job that you've done in the past years of keeping down the taxes. But I heard a slight rumor, and that's all it is that there may be some cuts to the police department, and I wanted to come down here and voice my strong support for the police department. And I would say this, that I know that you want to concentrate on economic development in the city, and you should do so. But I grew up on the northwest side of Milwaukee. When I was growing up there were plenty of jobs for everywhere. There were machine shops all over the place. If you're a kid, you could get a job anywhere you wanted. That all ended. It all ended because crime got out of control. Where I'm going with that is the number one thing that a new business is looking at or people wanting to relocate, first item is, do you have a low crime rate? That's your number one economic development issue. Again, I know you have a very difficult task ahead of you. I'm not here to support the mayor's budget or anybody's budget, but what I would ask you to do is to think about discretionary programs and whether there's things that can be cut without having to dig into the police department. The last thing is, I don't get a chance very often, but you got the best police chief, not only in Franklin. This guy is the best anywhere. And he should get all the support he possibly can. And I think you'd all agree with that. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else? We got a great fire chief, too.
And a pretty good assistant.
Clerk's
fire
okay.
Chief.
City attorney's good, too. Who else is here?
Jim Lucky, 4925 West Rawson Avenue. And I'm here also to talk about the budget, public safety, but specifically the police budget. I did take a look at that, and I saw that there was three items here that the city was considering eliminating from the budget. It's some auto maintenance uniforms, and primarily freezing officer vacancy, which was about over $96,000 a year. And I believe that should not happen. I think these items should remain in the budget. And the reason why is that we do have such a great police force here in Franklin. The officers and staff do an outstanding job. We have superior leadership from the police department. And also, for my understand that in previous years, when there has been some new hires, quite a number of police officers from other communities in the area, experienced first-class officers, want to come to Franklin knowing we have such a fine police force here. And that is really a benefit to the community, primarily in law enforcement, but also from an economic standpoint, in that we're not paying to train somebody to do so. And I get out in the community quite a bit, and my thoughts here that I'm saying I truly believe are shared throughout our community. Thank you.
Thank you. This is citizens' comment period, and you can comment on anything. kind of thinking that if it's budget-related, you might want to wait until the budget hearing, but you're welcome to speak anytime you want. Please, come forward. Give us your name and address, please.
Hi, my name is Trudy Lott, and I've been in Franklin for 3 years. And I had several things, actually, three things that I wanted to bring to the attention. One is, I read it, and I know it's not correlated to the budget, but there was a property tax increase of 3%, and the justification was that we haven't had a tax increase in 5 years or whatnot. And I did a little bit of research, and I found that we're still, the home prices have increased. So that's going to increase the tax automatically. So I don't know if you took that into consideration, which I think it plays a big role into that. The second thing is, you know, I looked at a statistics that was, you know, when homeowners buy houses, they look at all these websites. And when I look through this, we're paying on an average tax $20 less than Brookfield. I mean, I can go on and on. I'm happy to send out these links to you so you can take this into evaluation before you make these decisions. But that was that's a concern. That's a concern because, you know, we're helping our schools fund PTO fundraisers to build libraries and this and that. And you know, people in my generation are moving to the area for schools and whatnot, and then we're having to not only help, you know, of course, that when you come into the school, everybody pitches in, you do, you know, everybody has a part to play. I totally understand that. But, you know, you have to look at that. And then when I look through the budget, also going to the budget, there's a lot of items that say other. I feel like that should be explained what that other is. I don't know that people like me understand what other includes in each department. We don't know. You know, this budgeting thing is a big thing for our community. And if it's affecting our taxes, property taxes, and people that are losing their positions or cuts, it's affecting resources. You're not going to have happy people. So I have more, but I think that's the gist of it.
Can we get your name and address, please?
Ma'am?
We got your name, but can we get your address, too?
Oh, address, absolutely. It's 8267 South Preserve Way.
Thank you. You'll have another opportunity during the hearing, of course.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. Anyone else? Mr. Perrico.
Yes.
Good day,
Mayor, members of the City Council. This is a budget-related matter that I present to you. My name is Steve Perrigo. I live at 3562 Maryland Drive, which is part of the Hidden Lake subdivision. I've got a resolution that was put together by our board of directors that I'd like to present to the city clerk so we can include it in the record at such time as you are going to be considerations of the budget. But on the behalf of the residents living in 240 houses in the Hidden Lake subdivision, the Board of Directors of the Tumble Creek Owners Association, a corporation under the requirements of Chapter 131, known as also as the Wisconsin Non-Stock Corporation Law, do state as follows. Whereas the City of Franklin is considering potential adjustments to the proposed 2018 budget, and whereas said potential adjustments may include a 27% reduction for the Franklin Police Department. On the behalf of the residents, it is resolved that the Tumble Creek Home Association does oppose any potential adjustments that would result in a negative impact to the Franklin Police Department and to the public safety of our community. The Tumble Creek Homeowners Association requests that the City of Franklin Common Council reinstate such negative expenditures adjustments to the Franklin Police Department for the amount of $99,000. This was passed by our board of directors, and so I'd like to leave a copy with that. Also, a note that the next time I come up, I'm going to bring my glasses with me, so I'm sure I'm reading everything that is here. But I also, on a personal note, would like to commend the Common Council, because over the years, our city and the police department, the fire department, have ranked in the top 10 communities in terms of public safety. In this day and age, that's not only wonderful, but with new businesses coming in, with Foxconn coming in, it's something that will attract additional growth to this community. So we hope we can, as citizens, we hope we can all work together to enhance this and make this work. So with that, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Perry. Anyone else? Mrs. Adamski.
Anna Damsky, 7825 Stonebrook Court, obviously Franklin. I'm here as not only a citizen, but also as the president of the Citizens Academy alumni. We support those who support us, which are obviously the officers. I urge you guys to look again at that budget cut for them. These men and women, with everything that's going on, this city literally is under attack. The suburbs are under attack, and all these people. They go out and they do their job every single day not knowing what they're going to encounter. We need to give them the resources that they need to do this job and to get it done. We've got IKEA opening next year just in time for this budget to start. They need any kind of help they can get. What they're dealing with between the drug addicts and the robberies, and you see what's happening in Elm Grove when they're targeting senior citizens, for crying out loud. We need to give them any resource we can. I mean, I'd love to give them a raise, but obviously I can't do that. And maybe you could take that up at the next meeting. But these men and women do a tremendous job, and we need them to have every resource they can have. And I also urge each one of you to join the Citizen Academy. Come to the classes. Come and see what they do and take a walk in their shoes. You would really be enlightened. So I also have, from all of our board, and from many of our officers, have also signed a petition to please to reconsider, and hopefully we can get these guys the resources that they need. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anybody else? All right. There is a public hearing coming up. I will close the citizens' comment period. Move on to item C. Public hearing on the 2018 proposed budget. You're going to do the notice? Or is Sandy going to do the notice?
I'll read the top. He can read all the notice.
Okay, there you go. Madam Clerk.
The Common Council of the City of Franklin will hold a public hearing on Tuesday, November 14th, 2017 at 6:30 p.m. or as soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the Common Council chambers at Franklin City Hall for the purpose of hearing any citizen or taxpayer on the proposed 2018 city budget. The summary of the proposed budget is published herewith, and a copy of the complete proposed budget is available for public inspection at the office of the City Clerk and the Franklin Public Library following the date of the notice and on the city's website. Dated this 25th day of October 2017 at Franklin.
We have a properly noticed public hearing. Mr. Liberta, would you do your presentation and I'll open the public hearing.
Sure. The budget calendar for the city identifies the Common Council's first engagement in the budget process as being the presentation of the mayor's recommended budget. That's usually the case. That wasn't the case this year, however, because of fiscal circumstances, it necessitated that we engage earlier in this. As such, the 2018 budget process began June 20th, continued through the summer, and the budget process was different this year than in recent years because the city's fiscal position was different. This is a slide from the first budget meeting that shows a preliminary budget deficit that the Common Council and Mayor were dealing with, which approached about $1.6 million. That was a very conservative number, but that was a starting point. The potential deficit's threat to the maintaining existing operations was substantially higher, and fewer tools remain to address the challenges than we had in previous years. So this current budget should be viewed on its own merits, but also must be considered in the context of recent years' budgets. So where we are today is a product of where our prior decisions, and where we go tomorrow is also significantly shaped by those prior decisions. So in that context, our current year is summed up in a statement from the 2017 budget transmittal letter, and I'll just read the very beginning and the end, that 2017 budget has pushed the limits of what can be accomplished within the constrained revenue policies the city has pursued. Simply maintaining current operations and core services after 2017 may exceed the ability of the city to fund or otherwise absorb the gradual natural cost increases without reevaluating a willingness to fund those services through property tax increases. So, that being said, we had to look at what the goal for the budget was, and it was to balance and sort of create some harmony between the increased need for property taxes, reasonable alternatives, and reasonable service cuts to mitigate or offset demands against property taxes. So before jumping into the numbers of the presentation, I would first like to point out some of the basis for the numbers in the presentation. This is a little crowded because there's an insert in the middle of that slide. But what I'm going to go through in this presentation includes three things. It includes what was in the public hearing notice based upon the actions of the Committee of the Whole at their October 2nd meeting. And that's where the 3% increase in property taxes that was referenced in one of the public comments comes in. But the Common Council kept meeting after that. There's a notification deadline that we have to give the newspaper. But while that was already at the newspaper, the Common Council continued to meet, and they made some other recommended changes at the Committee of the Whole at that point. So it was reasonable to conclude that the Alderman intended to incorporate those in the final budget, which was an additional cut, you can see in the blue circle there, of $96,351. And therefore, I think I would be remiss in this budget presentation if I didn't bring that into everyone's attention tonight and incorporate it into it. So that actually means the starting position for where the council will likely begin working with the ordinance, and the ordinance that's in the packet for tonight has a 2.53% budget increase. So it's always already been reduced for a levy increase, from 3%. Similarly, there are two other adjustments that are incorporated in the ordinance that's on the agenda. Neither impacts the property taxes in any way. They're at the bottom. Since the council last acted, there was the Department of Revenue put out what the inflation adjustment is that's allowable for the expenditure restraint program. So we always add what we can under the cap to the restricted contingency. So that was added in. And then one of the cuts you did on October 2nd, you removed the expenditures necessary to offset the state taking away some money. But we should reduce the matching revenue so we don't over-reflect the balance in the capital outlay fund. So we included both those corrections so that what was it published in the or presented to you in the ordinance and discussed today incorporated all of those things. So the impact on the property taxes is typically the most scrutinized aspect of the municipal budget. That's particularly been the case, I believe, here in Franklin, where for the last 5 years, the focus of the Common Council has arguably been on achieving a zero growth in property taxes. And to that extent, you can see the kind of impact it's had. This is information we recently received just last couple days from Milwaukee County Treasurer on this graph. It includes the current year. Obviously, they don't have information for the year that everyone's working on their budget now. As you can see, the total tax rates throughout the city of Franklin compare very favorably with other municipalities in the county. All three of our districts, school taxing districts overlapping, are on the very low end of the scale. So what's the impact of this budget on the 2017-18 property tax levy? You can see across the top of the screen there, the current total property tax levy is just over $20,509,000. The 2.53% increase is an increase of just over $500,000 at $518,000. For a new total property tax, this is of $21,027,000. Obviously, compared to the last 5 years, where you can see down on the table on the bottom, it seems like a significant increase, but from a historic perspective, the increase is arguably very reasonable. On the bottom, one can see that since 2005, when the current iteration of the state's levy limits were initiated, property taxes have increased an average of 2.06% per year. When one excludes the current runs of zeros in 2012, where a reduction occurred due to a closure of a TIF, the average raise has been about 3.3% per year. heavy fingers there. Got too far ahead of myself. So, when the state implemented the current levy limits in 2005, they restrict us primarily by initially having limits based upon a valuation factor, which they call net new construction. So a community may only increase initially their total levy by the amount of levy that would be generated from new construction within the community, less the valuation of any structures demolished. So there are a number of exceptions and adjustments to this, most of which do not affect the community in the current year. Since 2013, the city has only applied to its budget 4.7% of the allowable $913,000 in a levy applicable to net new construction. When you add 2018 into the budget at the 2.53%, the total allowable levy increase goes up to just over $1,017,000, and we're at about 55% of that allowable net new construction if you consider the increase anticipated. There are many ways that one could look at the proposed increase. For example, spreading that out over the period since total property taxes collected were last increased, which was back in 2013, and amounts to an average increase of only about 0.5% per year. That bottom line on the screen there, that's where you can see the proposed property tax I'm using is the 2.53% includes that 96,000 cut that the Committee of the Whole recommended at their December 17th meeting. When the legislature extended the levy limit program on a permanent basis, the statute was amended to specifically provide for the ability to access prior year's levy that was left on the table. The first consideration remains the current period's net new construction. That's always the first amount of levy increase applied. But communities that have been frugal and further restrained their property tax increases within their allowable levy limit can exceed that by accessing prior years unused net new construction through two different mechanisms the state allows, or applying a levy to a debt service levy. Franklin's one of the few communities that haven't used the debt service levy up to this point, so it's a tool we have access to more than most communities. Our financial advisor, I believe, says she believes about 90% of communities historically have used that, whereas City of Franklin has not to this case. Looking at potential property tax rates and assessed valuation, I won't go through this in detail because it gets into boring math, because you start with the property taxes collected there on line A, and you work through the equalized levy and adjusting for TID valuations, and at the bottom you can see your estimated property tax bill. And the results included here, including that $96,000 additional cut, the Committee of the Whole recommended to bring it down to a 2.53 levy increase, results in the property tax bill going to $5.61, where it's currently at $5.68. So the property tax bill or rate, in fact, does go down. And so one of the questions that was made during the citizen comment period is adjusting for housing values going up in the community. That occurs naturally in the process just following the statutory reason. So that's why even though the tax rate goes, the tax levy goes up, the tax rate does go down.
It's important that we define the two numbers that we talk about regularly in this meeting. Tax levy is the, and this isn't for the people in the audience, it's for the people who listen on the tape later, because you're all smart. The tax levy is the amount of money spent by the city, hard dollars. Tax rate is what determines how much your portion of that is. And the tax rate is also added on to by the school district, MATC, Milwaukee County, and MMSD, and a little bit by the state still. So let's not confuse rate and levy. As the former mayor will tell you, I'm a levy guy, not a rate guy. So, because the rate is got lots of different factors controlling it. So.
And I am trying to go quickly, Alderman, so if I'm going too fast, you can give me a backup. Please don't hesitate to interrupt me. So what I'd like to do then is go ahead and move into some of the other items. I've talked about the property tax. I've talked about some of the other items affecting the budget, because as we noted at the beginning of the goal, the budget isn't solved entirely using the levy. It's other alternatives and strategies as well. In this budget, it did eliminate a heavy equipment operator. That's a DPW person who is also one of our snowplow operators. It defunded an engineering technician for half a year. The position wouldn't start until middle of the year. The budget doesn't include any cuts to police officers. So anybody who is under an idea that, or following a rumor that it had cuts to policing staff, it's in fact the opposite. There are no cuts to policing staff. In a list that was distributed of things that might have to be done to get significantly below the levy increase we're at, there was a reference listed as a potential, because that was one of the last positions held vacant back in 2012, 13, in that time frame. But at the Committee of the Whole meeting on October 17th, you all passed a recommendation to yourself that that be taken off the table and not considered. And in fact, this budget does have funding for the city portion of a grant fund to add a police officer, should we get notice on that. And the police chief referenced in an email earlier this week that the Fed still have not determined when they're going to announce those awards. Last week they said it would be this week, and this week they said it would be before the end of the month. So we still do not know whether we will qualify for the COPS grant. But should we do it, we do have enough in this budget for funding estimated at least one additional position. There were no other new positions that were requested that were funded. So if the number of additional staffing in police and fire that were requested by the chiefs early in the budget process and that were included as supplemental information in your original budget packets were to be considered by the community to enhance those two departments, would need to be something that would need to be done through a referendum next year for 2019. In the budget, there were a couple moderate increases. The sanitarium has increased from working 3 days a week to 4 days a week, entirely by revenue funded by the department. Two lead dispatchers were being created from existing dispatchers to help provide 24-hour support to the department, and it does fund contractual wage increases for police and fire employees, and non-represented employee market adjustments are estimated to be 2% occurring in July or middle of the year.
Let the record reflect, Alderman Taylor's left his seat at 6:58.
Continuing with alternatives to property taxes, development revenues based upon and some anticipated construction development revenues are building permit fees primarily. About $350,000 increase over what was anticipated when we were looking at that deficit level and potential deficit in the summer. Same thing with ambulance revenue fees, up about $100,000. There were some property tax refunds that might have to occur based upon some businesses that have sued the state in their manufacturing valuations, and we're prepared to pay that out of existing fund balance instead of tax for it. And the Common Council's already approved a significant redesign to the city's health insurance plan for its employees, doing things like doubling the deductibles, tripling the out-of-pocket costs, increasing office visit copays from $10 to $25. And so some significant changes. That saved about $400,000 in the self-insurance program, and that's with employee premiums going up 7.5%. Workers' compensation, with the work that managers are doing, we have had very favorable results in workers' compensation. So this year's budget saw a reduction of about $130,000 almost from the current year's adopted. OPEB costs were expected. That's other post-employee benefits that we have, some retiree costs. It was expected to go up about $150,000, but there was nearly $60,000 in savings that we had estimated on that fund coming from the cuts that you did to the health insurance plan. And we have heard from the actuary that we had estimated $60,000 and we were within a couple thousand, so it was pretty much dead on.
Alderman Taylor has returned to a seat at 7:02.
Similarly, we have some severance costs for potential retirees that we'll pay for from fund balance instead of using new funding for this year. Health department will fund some of its staff, an additional increase in staffing from grants. And we went through all of the departmental line items and cut another $87,000 that was offset by about half, but that helped reach the level of the funding that the bottom line for the budget is. But we went through each line item in all departments to try and find any room we thought was there. So you can see from these sorts of lists that we've just went through, the Common Council spent a considerable amount of extra time considering the alternatives to property tax. They had us prepare extra lists for things that could be considered. As some state adjustments to revenue came in, that's where we were able to find some other changes that could be made to create that additional $96,000 in cuts from when the public hearing notice first went to the newspaper. So there were a lot of extra meetings this year relative to getting to the level that we're at. To meet our statutory requirements for this presentation, I get to do the exciting part of rushing through some of the funds and making sure we cover them. The library fund, it's controlled by the library board, not by the Common Council, and their approval of their budget is pending adoption. They were informed that there wouldn't that they needed to address their structural deficit and make sure they didn't operate at a deficit from the resources that they had. And they did make some cuts to do that. And right now, with only getting a 0.5% increase in levy support, they did make some changes such that last we saw they had a nominal positive balance for 2018. The sanitary sewer fund primarily receives its revenue from user fees. The bulk of the expenditures are to MMSD, the pass-through of MMSD operating costs. MMSD has proposed an operating increase of 11.5%, and therefore that's what we would expect to see as a user fee increase. It's really outside the control of the city largely. The water utility, we don't have information available for this. Again, that's one of the funds that's under the authority of the Franklin Board of Water Commissioners. They approve their own budget, have their own budget hearing. But we do include the information in our budget book for that public notice expectation. And we'll include that after they approve it. Capital Outlay Fund, the department's request in total, requested $1.3 million. We only have a proposed appropriations of $681,000, so we're only able to fund right about half of it. Typically, we are at about the $600,000 level. $50,000 of that $681,000 is contingency. So we've got itemized items for about $631,000, and anyone who thinks we're shortchanging the police department could consider that of that 631, about 55% of it goes to the police department. The rest of the city shares the other 45%. So I would say the Common Council's clearly supporting the police department to the extent that we're able to within the limitations of the proposed appropriation in total. At your chairs this evening were those revised pages that has those itemized listings in the budget documents that have been at the clerk's counter in the library. It did have the original pages and some of the changes you made in October. The reference, we did provide some printed pages for you. Equipment replacement fund has revenues about $586,000. This is a good fund to have. It helps us plan ahead for larger pieces of equipment. We've never been able to quite fully fund it. and still maintain current operations. We're at about 68% of being fully funded each year. 2018 expenditures of about $300,000 include a tandem axle truck, flatbed truck, and an evidence crime scene squad. Street Improvement Fund has about $714,000 of property taxes, and every other year we get state aids of $75,000. This 2018 is a year where we'll get them. And that will enable us to have about 15 road projects with a total expenditure, it shows, of $920,000. The Capital Improvement Fund, this is the largest spending plan in many years because it carries forward the 2017 TID 5 expenditures. But we have, as far as revenue, $5.5 million in new debt. There's landfill siting fees, impact fees, utility development fees, and $14.5 million from TID 5. And we put in appropriations from the Historical Society. Again, we, as I referenced earlier in the process, we don't expect that they will be contributing $150,000. We just put in a larger number than it will be needed, so we don't have to do budget modifications.